St. Luke chapter 24. The two disciples recounted what had taken place on the way and how Jesus was made known to them in the breaking of bread. While they were still speaking about this, he stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." But they were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. Then he said to them, "Why are you troubled, and why do questions arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, because a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you can see I have." And as he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While they were still incredulous for joy and were amazed, he asked them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of baked fish. He took it and ate it in front of them. He said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and in the prophets and Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be preached in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." Recently I heard an Easter hymn in another language which said something like, "Soldier, tell us what you saw in the darkness of the night as he rose." We do not have such an eyewitness account, however. In any case, if there were such a testimony, it would mean that a reality of the new creation could be seen with eyes that belong to the first creation. The fact that there is not such a testimony is an invitation to think about how the risen Lord could be seen. What kind of eyes are needed? What would such an experience be like? And what would be the consequences for the seer? Although we have no report from the soldiers guarding the tomb, we do, however, have much evidence to support our faith in Jesus risen from the dead. A collection of different kinds of experience and different kinds of testimony. When we put it all together, the most reasonable conclusion is the one at which the apostles and disciples arrived. Jesus is alive, he is risen from the dead, and his kingdom is underway. What is the evidence? Firstly, we have an empty tomb. It proves nothing just by itself, since there could be various explanations of it. But at least it makes us suspect a plot of some kind, whether divine or human. In the second place, we have encounters with the risen Lord. And now the question raised by the empty tomb begins to be answered. We see that there is both continuity and discontinuity between Jesus alive and carrying out his mission in the first creation, and Jesus alive and carrying on his mission in the new creation. The disciples do and do not recognize him. They need help, reminders, confirmation that it really is the one who was crucified who is now with them again. "Look at my hands and my feet," Jesus says. "Give me something to eat. It is I myself, and I am not a ghost." They need to be pacified, and their confusion and doubt need to be resolved, if they are to make the transition from seeing to believing. In this, the wounds of Jesus play a crucial role, those marks in his body which confirm that it is really he. In the third place, we have the Bible, the scriptures which Jesus says already contain all the information needed if we are to understand and believe what has happened. As he had opened the scriptures for the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, so he does now for the rest of them, showing how all that has happened is foretold in the law, the prophets, and the writings. This is a way of referring to the scriptures in their entirety. He is saying that we have a guidebook to the resurrection if we learn to read the scriptures in the light of that new reality. This reading has two aspects. It opens the mind so that we understand more than we did before. We see more in familiar texts, and we now see what many of the prophecies meant. But it is also a way of reading that inflames the heart. Did not our hearts burn within us, the Emmaus disciples say, as he opened the scriptures for us. It is not just about truth, then. It is always also about love. If we enter the scriptures, keeping an eye out for the risen Lord, we not only grow in knowledge, we grow in love. It has to be so, because the new creation, the world of the resurrection, is about mutual knowing and loving. It is about new relationships. It is about a new kind of communion between human beings and God, and among human beings themselves, a new way of being together. And this is the fourth kind of testimony that supports our faith in the resurrection. We have the empty tomb, we have encounters with Jesus risen from the dead, we have a new way of reading the scriptures given by Jesus to his disciples, and we have the community of believers itself, which becomes a proof, evidence, testimony, a witness that generates and supports faith. We know him, St. John says in today's second reading, if we are keeping his word and living according to his commandment of love. The kind of truth established by the resurrection is not just a new kind of physics or a new kind of biology, interesting as those questions are. It is a transformation of relationships, because it means conversion, it means pardon for sins, it means expiation and reconciliation, it means healing and new life. Human ignorance, which each day kills the author of life, the sinfulness in us that would turn the whole world into an empty tomb, this is undone and its consequences overruled by the actions of God. In fact, says Peter in his sermon recorded in the first reading today, God even uses our ignorance and its consequences in fulfilling his own purposes for the world and for the world's salvation. If we open our minds and hearts to the evidence and testimony that are given, then we can come to only one conclusion. He is truly risen, and everything is changed. This cannot be simply a notional or intellectual conclusion. It must be a real conclusion that involves faith and generates a great hope. It is a conclusion that opens our hearts as well as our minds. It is a conclusion that requires conversion and recognition, not just of a relationship with Jesus and the Father in the Spirit, but also of a relationship to creation, and particularly to other human beings in the same spirit. It presupposes not only faith and hope, but charity as well, the love Jesus brought into the world. He is truly risen. We are in a new world. Alleluia.